Don Quixote. Don Quixote de la Mancha. The amusing, crazily crusading hero, a caricatured figure of mingled fun and pathos, was the gallivanting knight out of time with his generation. He was so demented that he thought he was still living in the days of ancient chivalry. So that he rode around gallantly on his old nag in a patchwork suit of armor with a pot for a helmet, faithfully followed on a funny little donkey by his fat and fuming squire, Sancho Panza.
Wait for me, master. Wait for me.
Sancho was gravely concerned for his odd master's safety during such ridiculous exploits as challenging windmills to battle.
Sancho!
Yes, master?
Look there! What do you see?
I see a windmill, master.
A what? A windmill? I see no windmill. I see a monstrous giant with four arms. Sancho, give me my horse and my lance and my sword and stand back whilst I slay this monster.
Master, do be careful.
Charge!
Are you all right, master?
Don Quixote also rescued fair ladies whom he supposed to be in distress and resided at an old inn that he imagined to be a castle.
Sir, are you the innkeeper of this fine castle?
Yes, I am, but this is no castle.
Sir, I wish to stay in your fine castle with my squire Sancho Panza.
Pardon me, you old fool. This is no castle. This is the Grade 3 Rambarosa Hotel. Now get lost!
As his faithful squire, Sancho Panza, so often used to say about his master...
My master, Don Quixote, is really very noble and good-hearted and well-meaning, though he is somewhat misguided by his dementia and delusions of grandeur.
You'll find that the story of Don Quixote revives the crusading spirit, searching for meaning and purpose to life, the nature and reality of truth.
Here's to old Don Quixote, my piper as mutin' and mo. We'll sing you their songs over Dote, and all of their love we will show.
Sancho? Yes, master?
I have read many books. I am a learned man, and what I have read has depressed me. I am sickened by a world where evil brings profit and virtue, goodness and honesty bring none at all. Come, Sancho, let us mount a crusade to right all wrong, to raise up the weak and those in need. Come, let us sally forth in search of adventure!
And so we join the mad knight Don Quixote and his squire riding along the plain engrossed in deep conversation.
Ah, Sancho. It was on such a morning as this that the world was made and God gave breath to every living creature.
Yes, Master.
Sancho, how glorious our mission. To right all wrong, to raise up the weak and those in need, and to challenge and conquer evil and untruth wherever it may be found.
Yes, of course, Master. But, Master, surely there is too much evil in the world for the two of us to fight alone.
God, my dear Sancho, is not limited by many or by few. We three, myself, you, and my trusty steed, we three, Sancho, with God, are more than a match for a whole world of wickedness.
Suddenly, the old knight stopped in his tracks, his attention riveted on the distant horizon, where his eyes were fixed on what appeared to him to be some ghastly and monstrous apparition.
Look, Sancho! Over there! What do you see?
I see a small cluster of whitewashed buildings, Master.
Then your eyes deceive you, Sancho. I see a monstrous factory sprung up from the depths of the underworld, designed by Satan himself to make machines of young men's souls. Come, Sancho, let us ride to yonder place and see what adventure might befall us.
Now, needless to say, the factory that the Mad Knight had seen was no factory at all, but rather a highly respectable institution known as the Darwin Junior High School, which was held in high esteem by the local community as being a first-class school to which to send their young. In fact, at the very moment of Don Quixote's approach, the students were in the middle of a biology class under the instruction of their teacher, Mr. Johnson.
Silence. Now, students, some people believe in the fact that the world was made in 6 days, and that man was created by God in his own image. However, students, these are no more than foolish fallacies which have long since been disproved by Charles Darwin's theory of evolution.
Then, if the theory is a theory, how can it then be a proof? I defy you, sir, to prove such an outrageous statement.
Teacher, along with the 20 or so students in the class, spun around in amazement at this strange intrusion and were dumbfounded to see a peculiar old man in a rusty suit of armor clutching a crooked old sword, standing there and challenging with a fierce gleam in his eye their respected teacher's knowledge and authority.
Who on earth are you?
I am the valorous knight Don Quixote, destroyer of evil and defier of untruth. And, sir, I challenge you to prove your outrageous statement.
Now the students in the class, happy at this distraction from the normal monotony of the school routine and eager for some fun, began to chant for the teacher to prove it.
Prove it!
Yes, yes,
prove it!
Prove it!
Silence, class! Well, there is no actual proof. But it is a definite and almost certain fact, and only a fool would question otherwise, that you're descended from a monkey.
A monkey? Do you insult me, sir, to say that my noble line of descent began with a monkey instead of the man that God made in his own image?
But Charles Darwin said in his theory of evolution that...
Then I can see, sir, that Charles Darwin has made a monkey out of you. And you, in turn, are making monkeys out of these fine young minds entrusted to you for proper education. Sancho!
Yes, master.
Hand me my sword that I might teach this rascal a lesson.
Now, the thought of being descended from a monkey had so enraged Don Quixote that there is no telling what might have happened to the unfortunate Mr. Johnson had the situation not been saved by a banana peel inadvertently dropped from a young boy's lunchbox, upon which the old knight trod, slipped, and was sent crashing to the floor.
Are you all right, master?
In fact, the weight of his old suit of armor prevented him from getting up again. This occurrence gave the poor Mr. Johnson time to escape from the madness and run along to the headmaster's study, where indeed he had a strange tale to tell.
Come in.
Oh, headmaster, you wouldn't believe it. There's an old man in my class dressed in pots and pans and waving a sword and challenging not only me, but the entire educational establishment. I should call quick for the police.
However, it was at least an hour before the local police constable, P.C. Wudder, arrived on the scene to find out what on earth was going on. And by this time, Sancho Panza, sensing trouble, had got his aging master back on his feet and reluctantly onto his horse.
I sense trouble. I suggest that we get out of here quick.
And by the time P.C. Wudder arrived, Don Quixote had gone.
My Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha, destroyer of evil am I. I will march to the sound of the trumpets of glory forever to conquer or die.
Sancho.
Yes, master?
You do realize, Sancho, that had you not against my will persuaded me to leave the field of battle, that with God's help we would have won a glorious victory.
Of course, master, without a doubt.
But nevertheless, Sancho, a challenge has been made, and although untruth and lying vanity may hold full sway in the hearts of men, one day, Sancho, love and truth shall conquer all. What do you say, Sancho? What do you say?
Well, I've just one thing to say, sir, and that is I'm very hungry, and I would ask that before pursuing any fresh adventure, we might please stop for a bite to eat.
And so we join the mad knight Don Quixote, riding along, accompanied on a funny-looking donkey, by his fat and fuming squire, Sancho Panza.
Ah, Sancho, on this fine day, my heart is overwhelmed with happiness and love for God and every living creature.
Yes, master.
If only the world could realize, Sancho, that true happiness comes only through giving love and happiness to others. What do you say, Sancho?
Well, as always, I agree with you, master. But I must say that a certain amount of happiness does also come from having a full belly and a good glass of beer to drink.
Quite so, Sancho. And we shall stop at that castle over yonder and give food and rest to both ourselves and to our horses before we pursue any fresh adventure.
Master, I can't see any castle, only what appears to be a large country house.
It is indeed a castle, Sancho, and it is the duty of the lord of any castle to give food and shelter to valiant knights like myself who are far from home on some glorious mission and adventure. Sound the trumpet, Sancho, and wave my banner, and warn the lord of the castle of my approach.
Now the castle that Don Quixote had seen was, as Sancho suspected, no castle at all, but it was indeed the large country house of Sir Snootsby, a very rich and influential man who was the local landlord and owned much of the farmland and local property around about. Sir Snootsby was, at the moment of Don Quixote's approach, having his lunch. He was being waited upon by his servant girl, Asha, a girl of low caste who, along with her family, had worked for Sir Snootsby for as long as she could remember.
Asha, bring me some more biryani, will you? And another glass of wine, and hurry up about it.
Yes, sir.
Good God, what on earth is that?
Sir Snootsby and his servants looked out of the window to see a strange spectacle indeed. In the courtyard, on a bony old horse, was a peculiar, thin old man in a rusty old patchwork suit of armor with what looked like a kitchen pot for a helmet, accompanied by a funny-looking fat man astride a mangy little donkey, carrying with pride his master's lance and banner, which, in effect, amounted to nothing more than a long pole with an old handkerchief tied to the end. The local people, along with Mr. Snootsby's servants, quickly gathered around to see the odd couple and couldn't help but laugh as they beheld this extraordinary sight.
My master, the valorous knight Don Quixote, destroyer of evil and defender of the poor, desires to take food and rest in this fine castle before continuing on his holy mission to challenge and conquer all evil.
Oi, fat cow! There wouldn't be enough food in the whole village to fill a belly the size of yours.
Meanwhile, back in the dining room, Sir Snootsby, amazed at this strange intrusion of his private property, sent his servant girl Asha to tell the two to leave.
Excuse me, sirs, but you must be mistaken. This is no castle, but rather the country house of my master, Sir Snootsby, who bids me to ask you to please get off his property.
Ah, dear love, at last I have found you.
Master, what are you talking about? Found who? Come on, I suggest we get out of here, quick.
How long have I searched for you, longed for you, and now, at last, I have found you, my dearest Dulcinea.
The old knight got down from his horse and began to walk over to the servant girl Asha, who was too dumbfounded to move, but hypnotized by Don Quixote's charming and eloquent approach, she stood transfixed to the spot as the gentle knight took her hand in his and knelt before her.
Upon my word, dear lady, never have my eyes beheld such matchless beauty. Thou art fairer and more beautiful than ever could be imagined. Thou art the fair Lady Dulcinea, whom I have long sought, but only met in my dreams. Dear lady, I am the valorous knight Don Quixote, destroyer of evil and scourge of the wicked. And from henceforth, I put myself at your service to fight any battle and undertake any task that thou requirest of me.
The servant girl Asha began to see that the person with whom she was talking, although he was an educated gentleman of high estate, was obviously also a madman who saw things and people differently from what they really were. However, she couldn't help but be touched by his courtesy and kind words.
Well, sir, If you really are a knight, maybe you could say something to my master, Sir Snootsby, above my poor wages. We work hard all day, every day, and hardly get a pizza for it. He's so rich, he has the best of everything, and we're so poor, we're almost starving. If he just gave us a few extra rupees a day for our hard labor, it would cost him nothing, and we could at least afford enough to eat and drink for our children.
Enough said, dear lady.
Sancho!
Yes, master?
Take this, my gauntlet, to Sir Snootsby, and tell him that the fearsome knight Don Quixote challenges him to combat in the name of the fair Lady Dulcinea, whose honor he has so grossly offended by denying her proper wages for a hard-working labor.
Yes, master. However, at that moment, Sir Snootsby himself arrived on the scene to find out what on earth was going on.
Usher, get back immediately to your duties, and let me deal with this old idiot.
Sir! I had thought that the days of slavery and human bondage were past, and yet I find you holding captive this fair lady and her whole family in your castle.
What do you mean, captive? If you must know, she works for me and gets good wages. I pay her 100 rupees a month, and I take back 50 of that for her food, and the other 50 for her lodging.
Which leaves her, you scoundrel, with precisely nothing. Sancho, of all the evil that I have seen upon the face of the earth, this is one of the worst, that through the meanness and dishonesty of this one man, so many should be made to suffer. Sancho!
Yes, master?
Hand me my sword! Sir Snootsby, in the name of God, I challenge you to battle!
Now, before Don Quixote could finish his challenge, both he and Sancho Panza were set upon by four of Sir Snootsby's men, who bodily lifted up the enraged knight and his fat squire and threw them outside of the gate with a bump and more than a few bruises.
Now get lost, you old fool, and don't you come back either, fatso!
Sancho, you're very quiet.
Well, begging your pardon, sir, I'm still very sore after the beating we took at the hands of Sir Snootsby's ruffians. Sancho, I want you to know that if God so willed, I would return and single-handed raise his whole castle to the ground.
Of course you could, master, of course you would.
However, it is God's will that we leave Sir Snootsby to a far greater punishment than any we could ourselves inflict upon him.
What on earth is that, master?
The misery and the sorrow, Sancho, that his own riches have heaped upon him. Money does not buy happiness, Sancho. Only worry, sleepless nights, many enemies, and few friends. When the rich die, Sancho, they have not one paisa that they can take with them to God's heavenly kingdom of love and happiness that is to come. Indeed, Sir Snootsby, with guilty conscience, must meet not only his maker, but also the poor people who in this life he has so cruelly downtrodden and oppressed. To such a fate, Sancho, we leave him.
Don Quixote! Don Quixote! Wait for me!
Oh, master! It's your fair lady, Dulcinea!
My good knight, Don Quixote, I beg of you to let me ride by your side and join you in your great endeavor.
Ah, Sancho, what greater victory could there be than this, that this lady, so long held in the cruel bondage of poverty, should throw off the chains that bound her and instead ride by the side of the valorous knight, Don Quixote, as my fair lady, Dulcinea. Come with my lady and my squire at my side. We shall ride forth in search of adventure, and woe to the wicked!
I am Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha, destroyer of evil am
the second time in 2 days that the local police constable, P.C. Wadder, had received a complaint against what appeared to be two madmen on the loose. The first call had come from the headmaster of the Darwin Junior High School, where the old knight had caused a considerable commotion during Mr. Johnson's biology class, when he had challenged the unhappy teacher with the charge that he was teaching ungodly theories. And there is no telling what might have happened to the poor man had Don Quixote not trod and slipped on a banana peel accidentally dropped from a young boy's lunchbox. The second call that came, however, was from a far more important party.
Hello, PC Wadder here. Who's calling? Sir Snoozeby, yes, sir. Anything I can do to help, sir? An old man on the loose calling himself Don Quixote and accompanied by a fat friend. I see. Yes, sir, I've heard of him, sir. What did he do? Trespassed on your private property and ran off with your servant girl. Yes, sir. Right, sir, I'll get onto the case immediately.
P.C. Wadder winced at the thought of anything that could amount to a full day's work, and especially at an encounter with such a strange fellow as Don Quixote appeared to be. But after all, the responsibility for law and order in the village rested on his shoulders, and it was clearly evident that Don Quixote just had to be stopped. Don Quixote at this moment was about a mile away, riding along in the company of his faithful squire, Sancho Panza, and Sir Snootsby's servant girl, Usher, who, in the mad knight's imagination, had turned into his fair lady Dulcinea. We join the three in joyful mood.
I love life in short, Sancho. I love, and that's what makes me happy.
Oh, my dearest Dulcinea, how happy am I that you should ride with us on our great adventure. Your divine beauty and charm gives added strength to my arm.
And how happy I am to ride in the charming company of such a valorous knight and join you in your great mission to conquer evil.
How happy I am that you're both so happy. But my happiness will be complete when our conquest is over and I can return home to a large plate of my wife's good cooking.
Sancho, what strange and morbid procession is this coming up the road yonder?
It looks like a funeral procession, Master.
It is indeed a funeral procession, my lord, of a man who died in the village yesterday. He was a good and godly man, much loved by the local people for his virtue and honesty.
Then why this weeping and wailing? Sancho, I will not allow this mournful procession to pass until we have inquired more deeply into this matter.
Now, the funeral procession of the good man was being headed by the village priest, the Reverend Peabody, who, along with the deceased man's widow and the mourners following behind, were amazed to see, blocking the road in front of them, a bony old man dressed in a rusty suit of armor, a funny-looking fat man riding on a donkey, and a girl of low caste. The mourners fell into stunned silence at this strange sight. It was the Reverend Peabody who was the first to speak.
Who are you, my good man? What is your business?
I am the good knight Don Quixote, defender of the weak and scourge of the wicked. I am on a holy mission to conquer evil and defy untruth. Sir, I would inquire of you the reason for this sad procession.
Oh, good sir, I am the widow of the good man who is being buried today. He was a good and godly man. who only lived his life to love and help others. Oh, he died yesterday at 80 years of age. Oh, such a terrible thing that he should die. Oh, why did God let such a dreadful thing happen? Yesterday he was alive, but today he's dead, dead, dead.
Madam, weep not, but be of good cheer. There is no fear of death for the just, only for the wicked. If your husband was, as I hear, a good man who loved God and others, then there is no need for all this weeping and sad lament, only for joy and celebration. Indeed, God has blessed your husband with long life, some 80 years. Death, madam, is only a door through which he momentarily passed to enter the eternal and happy heavenly world that lies beyond. Madam, you must be thankful that God has seen good to relieve him from the pain and suffering of this mortal life, to the love and laughter and peace ever after that awaits him in the kingdom beyond. Be of good cheer, madam. Be of good cheer. And question not the will of God.
Oh, thank you, kind sir, for those good words of comfort. I never quite saw it like that.
Don't you listen to him, my dear. He's obviously just an old madman. Now, it's a very hot day, sir, and I'm getting very tired of standing here whilst you so rudely block our way. Now, could you please move aside?
Mad or not, sir, it is you who have so rudely interrupted me when I was trying to give a few words of encouragement to this dear lady.
And who do you think you are, sir, to give any kind of spiritual counsel to a member of my church? I'm the priest, you know.
Sir, although I have not fine linen to wear, nor jeweled ornaments on my fingers and around my neck, yet I also am a man of God, well read in the Holy Scriptures, and in them I find nothing that says that this woman's husband must needs be buried in so depressing a manner.
It's none of your business how we bury our dead.
But, sir, I can see that it is indeed a business to you.
What do you mean?
Do you deny, sir, that your major source of income outside of the offering plate comes from your expensive and meaningless rituals to marry people and then some years later to bury them?
This is blasphemy against my church!
Blasphemy against your church may be, sir, but not against Christ, who taught only love and humble simplicity. Indeed, if Christ at this moment stood here, he would probably take away your religious ornaments and golden vesture and give them to this poor widow who can scarcely afford to buy bread, let alone pay for this ungodly ceremony.
Surely, master, this is a holy man.
No more holy, Sancho, than the ones our Lord drove out of the temple with a whip. He may look holy on the outside, Sancho, but inside he's as bad as Johnson, Snootsby, and all the other villains who through false teaching and exploitation lead the poor and simple-minded astray and away from God.
Now listen, I've heard enough.
It is against such men as these that we have mounted our crusade.
Now listen, either you get out of the way or I'll call the police.
There he is! Get him, boys!
Look out!
It was almost as though the Reverend had uttered a prophecy, because at that very moment, P.C. Wada, who all day had been in hot pursuit of Don Quixote, arrived on the scene with four of his heftiest police constables. They quickly tackled the unlucky knight and his squire, knocked them to the ground, and sat on them.
There, that put an end to your mad adventures. Now, come with me to the lockup.
Thank you, constable, for saving us from this awful madman.
Oh, master, now we're in trouble for sure. Dear me, master, what a sad end to our glorious mission to conquer evil. It's landed us in the lockup, and now there's sure to be big trouble.
Fear not, my dearest Sancho. God's ways are not our ways, and from seeming defeat come some of his greatest victories. If God be with us, no man nor prison cell can stand against us.
There's somebody coming. And let's hope it is with a bite to eat, even if it is only bread and water.
Don Quixote! You stand accused of being a madman and a menace to our society. You will remain here until Sunday morning next, when you will be brought to trial by jury. How will you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Well, sir, if you would judge this world to be sane, then maybe indeed I am mad and glad of it. If, however, like I do, you see the world as being mad, then maybe, sir, it is I that am sane.
Well spoken, dear master.
That, Don Quixote, will be for the jury to decide.
Why am I, Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha, destroyer of evil am I? I will march to the sound of the trumpets of glory forever to conquer or die.
Order, order. Don Quixote, you have been brought this day to court to answer serious charges that have been brought against you. I call the first witness, Mr. Johnson.
My name, my lord, is Mr. Johnson, and I am the teacher of biology at the Darwin Junior High School. The day before yesterday, this old man came charging into my class and accused me of teaching ungodly theories. I don't know what might have happened to me if the old fool hadn't accidentally trod and slipped on a banana peel.
Silence. Calling Sir Snootsby to take the stand. Do you have any evidence to bring before the court?
I have indeed, sir. Just yesterday, this old madman, dressed in a ridiculous suit of armor made out of pots and pans, invaded my private property and ran off with my best servant girl, whom he hypnotized into believing was his fair lady Dulcinea. He's obviously quite mad and a menace to society.
Calling the Reverend Peabody, do you have any accusations to bring against this man on trial today?
Yes, I have, my lord. Don Quixote, accompanied by his friend and Sir Snootby's servant girl, held up my funeral procession, accused me of conducting an ungodly ceremony and uttered blasphemies against my church. I don't know what might have happened had not PC Water arrived on the scene and taken them away to the lockup. I'd say this fellow is definitely a madman.
Yes, yes, a madman.
My lord, it's not true, it's not true. I've known my master for a very long time, and though he does see life a little differently from others, he's not mad. I can promise you, gentlemen, he's very noble, good-hearted, and well-meaning.
Shut up, Fatso!
Master, I'm not fat, am I? Just a little chubby, maybe?
Silence in court. Don Quixote, you must now answer these serious charges that have been brought against you. You stand accused of being a madman and a menace to society. Have you anything to say in your defense?
I have indeed, sir. To begin with, I demand a fair trial in front of not only the good people present in the courtroom today, but also all people listening to this trial this morning. Let them decide, my lord, as to whether I am right or wrong, mad or sane.
Very well, then. So be it. All people listening to the trial of Don Quixote this morning are called upon to be the jury. Don Quixote, what have you to say in your defense?
My lords, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and members of the jury and listening audience, I stand before you accused by these three men of being a menace and a madman. But I say it's their whole world that's in madness. It's their whole world that's insane.
I'd rather have joy in my gladness than their sanity, sorrow, and pain.
And I agree with my master. It's their whole world that's in madness. They are the ones so insane. For I think that Don Quixote's hope, love, joy, and gladness is much better than sorrow and pain.
Oh, this is ridiculous. You're just a dreamer.
Then, sir, let me dream on if I'm dreaming. Let me drift on in my dreams. I'd rather be dreaming than screaming. I'd rather have dreams than screams.
Silence in the court, please.
Don Quixote, I think that you would have been a lot saner if you had had a good education.
Hear, hear, quite right, sir.
I am an educated man. I've studied books from morn till night and often through the night till morn again. And what I have read of this world has only depressed me. Till now I'm so weary of study, of the reading of books there's no end. Sir, I think it is your mind that is all muddy, and it's you that have gone round the bend.
Madness! This is madness!
Yes! Madness! Madness! Madness!
But we live in a world full of madness where all are insane, but we... I'll take my world full of gladness, though you call it fantasy. This world full of violence and madness, so violent and mad and insane. Would you rather my joy or their sadness? Would you rather my bliss or their pain?
Objection, my lord! This is just foolishness!
So you may say, sir. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And this world's wisdom is foolishness to him. That, my lords, ladies, and gentlemen, concludes my defense.
Don Quixote, I must please ask you to stop speaking in rhyming couplets. It's really most confusing. Now, I'm really most anxious to bring this extraordinary case to a close, so we can all go and have some lunch.
Oh, a very good idea, my lord. Hear, hear.
Sancho,
this is no time to think about your belly.
Now, you three, Mr. Johnson, Sir Snootsby, and the Reverend Peabody, do you have any final charges to bring against the accused?
Yes! I accuse you of being a rebel against society!
And I accuse you, sir, of being a rebel against God!
Goodness me! And what do you know about God? You don't even come to my church!
Sir, I doubt if God does either! Ha!
And for the last time, I ask you what's wrong with a little higher education?
Nothing at all, sir, if such an education teaches truth, love, and the ways of God.
You stand alone in your foolish ideals, Don Quixote! We are the majority, therefore we must be right.
Oh, I beg to differ, sir. It would appear from history that the majority has always been wrong.
Well spoken, dear Sancho.
But right now you stand alone.
Alone? How can I stand alone when God is with me? And if God be with me, who, pray, can stand against me?
I'm with you, master.
And I'm with you, too.
Oh, my dearest Dulcinea.
Archer, what are you doing here? Keep quiet. Get back to your work immediately.
Sir Snootsby, I am no longer your servant girl, Asha, but the fair lady Dulcinea of this good and valorous knight. Don Quixote does not stand alone. I stand with him, too. And if you find him guilty, you'll have to find me guilty, too. And all of God's children who long for a better world of love, truth and happiness. We'd rather be happy and glad than sane and sad any day, wouldn't we?
Yes, yes.
And how do we know you're happier? We've only your word for it. Can you prove it in this court of law that you're happier? Huh?
Yes, we can.
How?
We can sing and dance for you. Come on, Don Quixote and Sancho, let's show
yes.
us.
Oh, he lived in the world of fantasy, where all were mad but he lived in the world of madness, where he alone was free. Give me Alice's, Don Quixote's, by Piper's rescued from his mouth. I'd rather have all of these doties than have your insane world of woes, than have your insane world of woes. So, let's sing a song for the guilty, let's sing a song for the free, let's sing a song for the widow.
course, we're bound for eternity. We're bound for eternity. Hey! Hey!
Order, order.
I object, Your Honor. That's no proof that their madness makes them any happier than our sanity does.
Then can you sing and dance as happy as that?
Yes, of course we could. Couldn't we, Johnson? Couldn't we, Peabody?
Sing? Dance? Be happy?
Well, we could. Couldn't we?
Yes, of course we could. So there.
Well, go on then. Do it.
No, not now we won't.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, do you want them to sing and dance for you?
Yes!
No! Yes!
I object, Your Honor, that this is sheer madness and a mockery of proper court procedure.
Objection overruled. Order, order. Now, I must say that this is a most unusual case, and that the singing and dancing has quite cheered me up. However, the issue is clear. Don Quixote is saying that it is better to be happy and mad than sane and sad, whilst you maintain the opposite.
Objection, Your Honor. We may be very sane, but we're not sad.
Then prove it.
All right, then we will.
One, two, three. We sleep all night, and we work all day, and what we love most is when we get our pay. We're very happy, and not at all sad. If you think we're crazy, then it's you that are mad.
Sir, if it is truth that you want, then I think that this sad demonstration speaks for itself. But know this, that the love and happiness that lives in our hearts can live in yours also, if you, like we, give your life to love God and join our mission to spread his love throughout this lonely world to everyone, regardless of caste, color, or creed, that all may be happy and all may be free, and that all people everywhere can join in the world of love and peaceful harmony that God intended for it to be. Am I mad or am I sane? That decision has been left to your judgment. But know this, that I have but one judge, and that is God. He it is that made me, and he it is that will judge me and every man, mad or sane. You must decide. But if you judge me mad, can you with all honesty judge yourself to be sane?
Why am I Don Quixote?